The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls, and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show. Now, hold on, I got a cough. And I'm going to be coughing a little bit because I went to the gym today and I did a new exercise on the treadmill and it really wore me out. And when I do that, I really work hard, but I kind of cough a little bit for a few hours afterwards. It's a dry cough, no big deal. So I'll be doing that like I just did there, hitting the mute button. All right, now we are doing, just letting you know, on December 9th here, 2021, we're doing a fundraising drive for the month of December. If you are interested in supporting us in this ministry, all you got to do is go to carm.org/donate, and all the information you need is there. And whatever you donate will be doubled. So any new donation will be doubled. Any new, if you up your regular from $5 a month to $10 a month, then that extra $5 will be counted as the whole year and matched. People are already starting to do that. Thank you very much. For those, boy, I got this cough, this dry cough from working out hard. I got to work out. I got to work out because 65 is upon me, and I've got to be in good shape. And I had to get my abs back. When I got married, my wife married me, I think, the only reason she married me because I had some abs. Now I just have ab. And so I have to, I got to get those back. And maybe she'll start liking me again. You never know what'll happen, but, I'm going to give that a shot and get in shape. All right, now, we have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Also, I'm going to let people know that we've got the Matt Slick Live YouTube account working, and we're actually broadcasting to that on YouTube. We'll stay on Carm videos a little bit, but we're going to move all the Matt Slick Live videos over to that Matt Slick Live YouTube. We also have Matt Slick Live Facebook. And it sounds so narcissistic, My name is Matt Slick for the newbies and Matt Slick Live, but hey, that's just what it is. And if you don't mind that, you want to continue to listen to someone named Slick on the radio, man, you're going to be desperate. But we're going to be moving over there. So if you want, I'm recommending that people go over to those things and check them out. I went to the carm.org website, carm.org/Matt Slick Live, one word. And you go there and you can see the links for the different places we're going to be at. And you can go there and bookmark them and start tuning in there because those are going to be the mainstays. All right. Now, there was something else I had to say. We did the donation, matching funds drive. I did this stuff here. I just wish I had a good mind, but things slipped through my mind, and I can't remember what I was going to talk about, and oh well. You know what? It'll come back to me later, probably in the midnight, go, hey, that's what it was. All right, if you're new to the show, this is a Christian apologetic show. Apologetics is the defense of the Christian faith, and I'll be answering questions on that. That's what we do on all kinds of topics. Oh, and I remember one more thing here. I'll be doing some video work, and I talked to one of the board of directors last night till late in the wee hours. We're going to pray and let people know that we have needs. If you have editing ability and videos, if you're interested in doing something like this, it's not a light request. It's a serious request, and it wouldn't be all the time, 8 hours a day. It would be doing 1 minute videos and putting them together and then uploading them and things like that. I'll be uploading the raw files someplace, and if I can't find anybody to do it, I got to do it myself. I got to learn how to do all that kind of stuff anyway. And so we're doing stuff like that. I've got a slider on order, and I've got a teleprompter that someone sent me a while back. I'm going to be using that. I got to do all this stuff. We got to go to videos because that's where the world is moving. And the young people, they can read when they're typing on their phone at 80 miles an hour. Their fingers or their thumbs are going all over the place. And then you ask them a question, they stare at you. And then they have to put you on the phone. Oh, that's what you're saying. So we have to get into the phone, into the video stuff. So we're looking, we're learning. And if you have experience, you want to help out, got some suggestions, want to check some things, give me a call. I'm always open to be taught. All right, let's just jump on the air. Let's get to Rudo from Raleigh, North Carolina. Rudo, welcome. You're on the air, buddy.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes, yesterday you were talking to a guy, and you made me think about something. My question is, what did happen to Christ's deity when his human side died when he was on the cross?
Well, what happened to it, that's a different, difficult question to answer, because there was a union between the divine and the human nature, and it's called the hypostatic union. So the one person died on the cross, and the attributes of both natures are ascribed to that one person. So when the one person died on the cross, the attributes of both those natures were experienced by that one person. Now, we have a doctrine in theology dealing with the nature of the divine that cannot be affected by us. And when we look at that and we talk about that, there is no ontological effect we can have on God. He knows all things from eternity. And there's a question in theology of how do we influence God? How do we affect God? Because is there an effect? Well, yeah, there is. God is grieved by some of the things we do, etc. So how does that work? Well, not exactly sure it's worth a good discussion. Nevertheless, when Jesus died on the cross, how was the divine nature affected? I don't know how it was affected in the sense of was it saddened? Did it experience some pain? I just don't have answers to questions like that. We know that the person experienced these things. And so we get into that area of theological examination. I try not to get too deep because it's easy to make mistakes. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, God bless. All right.
God bless you.
Okay. Hey, folks, if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We have four open lines. Give me a call. Let's get to Anonymous from somewhere about something. What's up? Hello?
Hey, Matt, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Well, I thought I was anonymous. I just wanted to make sure. Well, this is Josh up in Sandpoint, your webmaster. How are you, brother?
Oh, man, now it sounds like you. Wow.
Well, listen, I don't want to take a lot of your time.
No, that's okay.
I knew you probably wouldn't say anything today, but I wanted to wish you publicly a happy 65th birthday. So happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you. 65 today. it's rude. Man.
Yeah. Well, and in honor of your birthday, I'm going to go to karm.org/donate and make a donation. And I hope everybody else does the same thing in honor of your birthday today to support your ministry, support you, your family. And, brother, it's just been an honor to work with you side by side. And I know we've accomplished a lot and we have a lot more left to do over the next several months and coming years. So I just wanted to tell you happy birthday.
And well, thanks.
The last couple of years of knowing you have been a pleasure. And
it has?
Here's to many more, my friend.
It has been a pleasure?
It has its ups and downs, right?
It does.
More ups and downs.
Well, I don't know. I mean, for you, probably more downs than ups. But for me, you know, more ups. We don't have any callers waiting, so I want you to hang on a little bit, okay? Because I want you, and just so people know, I did not know his calling, and I've known Josh now a couple of years. And he is the webmaster for Karm. He does great work. So the Karm website is his development. He's the guy who put it together and did all the stuff. When we have problems, I go to him and fix. And so having said that, seriously, I want you to give people how they can get a hold of you if they want web stuff done. You might as well. You've done so much for me and stuff. And we have paid you, but for some reason that payment has run out. And when I've talked about getting you on a retainer, you go, we'll talk about it later. That's how you have been. Which is pretty either stupid or really gracious. I don't know which one it is, but remember, I warned you. I warned you about working with Karm. Remember?
You know, I normally don't. You did. And I told you. I said, you know, I think we can make it work. And, you know, normally I don't run businesses like that, but it's a ministry and it's a great cause. And so for you, I've done that. But
how did they get a hold of you?
I was approached to do the website. Oh, well, that's a good question.
I want you to give a plug. I want you to plug peaceharbor.com.
Peaceharbor.com. I do web design, web hosting, graphic design, all that is there. But It's not about me, Matt. This is about your birthday and celebrating you. So you know.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that, and you know, yeah, it's 65 today. In fact, I went to the gym and I logged in. You know, I have a little keychain thing, and as I'm walking in, there's four people behind the counter, and they all go, "Hey, it's your birthday!" Because they looked at the monitor, and I go, "Yeah, yeah, that's right." And I said, "Hey, by the way, okay, how old do I look? I just thought I would ask." And because I'm 65, right? And, well, actually, one guy goes, "Well, 45," and the other guy goes, "Maybe 50." And I said, "Well, you guys are just saying that." He goes, "No, really." He goes, "Really?"
They're being kind.
Yeah, and I said, "Well, thanks. I'm 65," and they're like, "What?" And I said, "Yeah." So, yeah, Medicare and the whole bit. It is kind of sobering. Sobering, I'm telling you, because man, I'm old. I mean, I know people who are 65.
Well, like, you know, when I turned. Yeah.
What?
When I turned 40 earlier this year, it was the same thing for me. It was one of those moments of, you know, none of us are promised tomorrow, and you have to live each day the best you can, and you know, live to the glory of Christ. I mean, that's what you're to do, and it is sobering when you get older and you realize that at some point you're going to have more days behind you than you have ahead of you.
And, that's for sure.
And so it's kind of an encouragement and a motivation to do the most you can for God and for His people. So it's the daily reminder to live that way, you know?
That's right. And as we sometimes mention, or I must sometimes mention, that 2 years ago we were talking about you working with us and costs and everything. I remember sitting out in front of the gym, believe it or not, warning you about what it is to work with Carm. And you said, "No, I can handle it." And I've seen pictures of you in the past 2 years, and you've definitely degraded. That's obvious since you've worked with Carm.
A little bit.
Oh, I would say a little more than a little bit. You're starting to look like me. And, yeah, it looked like me.
Well, you know, I had to start taking hair pills and getting, you know, hair plugs and everything else within all my hair because of you. So that's been great.
There you go. You're welcome. See, help it out. That's right. At least you're married, so she's stuck. So that's how it works.
That's right. I forgot that behind me, so
all right. Well, all right, brother. Hey, man, appreciate it, buddy. Oh, and
hey,
by the way,
happy birthday. God bless. Yeah.
Okay. But I was going to say, we got the Maslick Live stuff ready on. We can switch it over to the website, from the website to the YouTube on Maslick Live. Anyway, it just whatever.
Yep. I got the message, and I wasn't going to reply because I was on hold. I wanted to surprise you. So, you know,
you surprised
we're good.
Me.
I'll take care of it.
All right, man.
That's right. You know, first time. Hey, the last time I ever called a radio program, it was Rush Limbaugh. So, I mean, this is a pretty big deal for me. Wow. Yeah. I mean, I got through to the call screener, but never made it on the show. So, I got right through to you this time. That was pretty good.
That's because you're just going downhill. That's all. It's just the quality of it's going downhill. So you it's easier to get in. All right.
All right, brother. Take care.
All right, man. God bless, Josh. All right, that was Josh, and he's the guy. He's done a great job. He really has, and I just want to say thanks to Josh. And peaceharbor.com is his website, and he does a lot of stuff, and he's been helping us out beyond the pale, let's just say. That's because that's what it is. All right, so, there's a break. Hey, we have three open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back after these messages, please.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's get on the air with Gene from Ohio. Hey, Gene, welcome.
Hey, my brother, listen, I wanted to call you, wish you a happy birthday, and God bless you.
Thank you.
Now, but I got to get you kind of straightened up a little bit. I know you're going back to the workout. You're going to get the ab into ab. That's awesome.
But
I got a question. Now, listen, I love you laughing, but I got a question for you.
Okay.
If you never had a birthday,
yeah,
never had a birthday, I ask you, how old would you be?
I wouldn't. I mean, I would not have been born.
You're only as old as you feel, my brother.
Oh, well, I feel about 90.
Lord.
Actually, no, I'm doing pretty well, actually. You know, a lot of people my age.
I know you are.
Yeah, yeah. I can run. I can jog. I can still do martial arts if I wanted. I can go to the gym. You know, so I'm very blessed. I have very little pain.
I love it.
So I'm doing okay. By God's grace. That's all it is.
Now, in my situation, I've been around the block a few more times than you have, but I'm running a close race with Methuselah. I'm just
969 years. That's pretty good.
I'm just kidding. But no, it's great. I love to hear from you. I love to hear the people. I love to hear the people ask the real questions.
That's right.
But the thing I know they're intrigued, and I know the people you have concerns with. I feel your heart. With where they stand in life, and you know basically where they stand when they're in opposition with what the Word says. But the only thing I know to say to anybody is, you must be born again and walk by faith and not by sight.
Amen to that.
That's the bottom line.
You've got to trust in Jesus. That's right.
Amen, brother. What else you got to trust in? It ain't this world.
Yourself. What's that going to do for you?
Well, no, because I'll tell you what I've told people. They say, hey, what's going on? I said, I don't know. This is your world. I'm just walking through.
That's right.
Just walking through. This ain't my home.
That's right. I'm grateful that he's granted us faith and granted that we believe.
Amen.
So that by his grace, Amen, we can serve him and honor him. And then one day we will enter into his presence directly. And, you know, I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to serve him. And for all of us who are Christians who know him, you know, it's by his mercy and by his grace. He needs to be glorified. Not that he needs it because he desires it, but because it's what's right. And we ought to do that. So, amen.
Exactly. And I'll tell you one thing. I'm so blessed to be. He blessed me to be humble. And that's the beginning of it all.
Good. We need to be humble. That's for sure. I'm working on that one.
And I told this lady the other day, and she was pouring out to me. I don't know. I just walked into the store, and she was pouring out to me. And I was flabbergasted. But I said, you know, there's one thing you got to understand. You can't fix something if it ain't broke. But when it's completely broke, God wants you broke. He wants you to be humble and to understand faith by grace, bro, or you ain't going to get nowhere.
That's true. That's true. We're going to trust in Jesus all the way. All right.
Yeah, I'm telling you, well, I wish you a very happy birthday. AK, your wife, I love her. Never seen her, your family, and we will celebrate Jesus Christ's birthday very shortly.
Hey, yeah, for real, that's right. Good. Well, praise God, man. Thanks. Appreciate it, buddy. All right.
All right. Call me when you hear me, brother.
Okay, man. We'll see you. God bless.
God bless you.
Okay. All right. Three open lines, 877-207-2276. Steven from Iowa. Steve, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. Happy birthday.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. It's weird, but yep. 65.
Yeah. Also, shout out to your web developer for taking on that project. I worked as a web developer for 4 or 5 years, and that wouldn't have been easy. So I really appreciate the work that he did to redo that.
No. Yeah, it's taken a lot of work. He's done extras. Yeah, because it's just, I warned him. It always happens, and he goes, that's right, it does. Particularly with Karn, it does. But anyway, praise God.
Yeah, my question is, recently I memorized Matthew 12:34-37, but the last part of it seems puzzling to me. It says, Jesus says to them that by your words you'll be justified and by your words you'll be condemned. Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering how that fits into being justified by faith alone in Christ alone.
Yeah, notice he said that before he was crucified, and he's talking to the evil people, and what he's doing is telling them that your words are going to condemn you. That's what's going on. They'll be justified in the sense before God, by your own words you're going to be condemned, by your own words you're going to be saved. And so those who are justified before Christ have confessed Christ. We're justified by our words. Lord Jesus, save me. Lord, you know, I depend on you. But the Pharisees, they are justified and condemned by their own words because they deny who he was. That's why he called them whitewashed sepulchers. That's why he says, you brood of vipers there. You brood of vipers. Now, I think about that. In the Garden of Eden, that was the snake, a viper. You brood of vipers. Whew. He is really insulting them. And, you know, because Jesus is the blonde-haired, black Caucasian surfer dude, he wouldn't say anything mean to anybody. You brood of vipers. That's what he said to them, among other things. And that's what's going on. He's talking to them about how they're going to be condemned by their own words. That's it. Okay?
Okay.
Make sense?
Yeah, it makes more sense.
More sense or makes sense?
I guess I don't understand like the part that you said about being condemned by their words, like if they deny Jesus, I guess that makes sense, but I don't understand the being justified by your words part.
All right. So, just so you know, words mean what they mean in context. And so a word, a single word, dikiao here in Greek is to justify, to justifies dikiao, and it is used in the New Testament 39 times. And so, for example, in Luke 7:29, it says that they acknowledged God's justice, and so they acknowledged what he was doing, and it's from dikiao again. They acknowledge God's justice. And so it has different meanings in different contexts. In Acts 13:39, everyone who believes is freed from all things. And that's the word dikiao again. So it has what's called a semantic domain. In Luke 7:35, wisdom is vindicated by all her children, or justified by all her children. But it doesn't mean that it gets saved. So it just, you understand, it has a series of meanings in different contexts. So context always determines the meaning. So when we're talking about Matthew 12, 35 through 37, and it's good that you are memorizing, 34 through 37, good that you're memorizing scripture. He's talking to the evil ones. He's talking to them, he's condemning them. And he says, verse 35, the good man brings out of his good treasure what is good. The evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. And so he's talking about what is in them. And by their words, they'll be declared right or declared wrong. But their words are either in Christ and they'll be declared right, or they're not and they'll be condemned. That's what's going on. Okay? All right, buddy?
Awesome. Thank you.
All right, man. Hey, folks, four open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Four open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. Let's get to Anonymous from California. Welcome, you're on the air.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome. So I have a question that concerning the incorruptible spirit, because I received corporal punishment from a child to adult years in the past years, and I was hoping that when a person gets hit, their incorruptible spirit, or who they are in Christ, does not get hit by God or other righteous people or anyone unrighteous.
I'm not sure I understand your question. Okay. So you're talking about your human spirit, right?
Yeah, when born again, it's incorruptible.
The Holy Spirit is when it's incorruptible. And when we're born again, the Holy Spirit lives in us, and then we struggle, as often is the case, with our own bad ways and sin and things like that. But, and that's called sanctification. So I'm not sure what your question is, though.
Oh, yes. incorruptible spirit, if you know, it's a person, because it's someone who they are in Christ, like whoever's in Christ is a new creation. Is that new creation sin? It's punished, or does it not? He or she?
I'm still not sure I understand your question, but the human spirit is independent of our physical bodies, though it shares in the pain of our physical bodies. So when our physical body dies, our spirit can continue and does continue. So
yeah, so it does not share in the pain?
Well, yeah, because it's our soul. It's what we are, the thing that makes us alive and has a self-identity. We experience that pain. And it's a physical thing. Now, when we are separated from our bodies before the resurrection, we're with the Lord, then what is the state then of our awareness of pain? I don't think it'll be any physical pain in that sense, because we're not in a physical body. And when we are resurrected into our physical bodies, as the prophecies talk about, then maybe we might be able to experience pain, but I don't know, because I don't know what the world's going to be like and what we're going to be like to that extent, so I just don't know.
Oh, you just don't know? So you don't know that if the incorruptible spirit, man or woman, will experience pain in this?
I think I'm starting to get an idea what you're talking about. The incorruptible spirit of the human being, once we're born again, can't experience pain.
Yes,
we can. Once we're born again, we can experience pain.
Even our spirit?
Well, you see, what do you mean by even our spirit? Because what we are is spirit, a soul, a human. That's what we are.
Yeah.
That thing that we are can exist independently of the physical body. But does it experience pain? Yeah, it does. The thing I call me, you know, when I stub my toe, it hurts. And I experience that pain. So that's what's going on there.
Wish that it didn't feel like the same thing as the soul and the body. So I heard that we're supposed to be a tripart being.
Yeah, that's one view, soul, spirit, and body. I lean towards what's called dichotomy, that soul and spirit are basically the same thing, and housed in a body. But, you know, it doesn't matter. Either one is acceptable. So I wouldn't worry about it. I wouldn't listen to too many people who say who go to tripartism, tripartiteism. And the reason is because sometimes they'll say, well, the soul can be possessed, but the spirit cannot be possessed by a demon. And they'll kind of do that sometimes. Not all of them do, of course. And that is a dangerous doctrine. But that's not to say that trichotomy is not okay. It is. It's fine. That's just one of the dangers that some people have gone into who've held to that position. And trichotomy may be correct. It's within orthodoxy. But I'm just saying that, I don't know for sure, but I lean towards dichotomy, where the soul
the
and the spirit are the same. Yeah, that's me. I could be wrong, though.
Will you ever see a new spirit?
In
the resurrection?
A new spirit? No.
Yes.
We already are, as Christians, new spirits. But our bodies are not ready for the new spirit yet, not caught up yet. But when Christ returns, the resurrection will occur. And we will then be raised in glory. This is 1 Corinthians 15, 35-45 talks about this. And that's when we're going to have new bodies. I'll tell you, my wife can certainly use that. She's got all kinds of medical issues, and she's dealing with one right this second. So next break, I got to go get something for her. You know, I'm very familiar with all of this stuff, even as we decay. But when we're redeemed now, our spirits are renewed, but our bodies are not yet. But they will be, and that guarantee of that is found in Romans 8, 29 and 30. This Romans 8, 29 and 30 says this: for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Well, glorification largely can mean the glorification of our physical bodies. And it's already spoken of in the past tense there, and which means it's guaranteed because of the work of Christ. So we're going to, it's going to happen. We just got to wait for it to happen. It takes time. Okay? You there? Hello? I think maybe we lost her. 3, 2, 1. Okay. We have 5 open lines. If you want to give me a call, folks, 877-207-2276. And we have, like I said, wide open lines. Give me a call. All right. Just going to give you guys a heads up on a few things. Not a big deal, but we're doing an end-of-year matching funds drive for the month of December. If you want to donate, anything you do donate will be matched. Now, if you donate $1 million, that would be great. I'd tell my friend, yeah, you're going to pay $1 million, and, you know, hear him spit his coffee into the air kind of a thing. But, you know, people do a few hundred, sometimes a couple thousand, and, you know, whatever. But whatever God does, I mean, whatever you do, will be doubled for the month of December. And we do need that, because the beginning of next year is always financially difficult for us, because we've got to pay the missionaries. We pay them in advance, months in advance, because it's cheaper in the long run to do that because of bank fees that goes across countries, particularly in African nations and South America. And it's all legit. We do this, and the banks know we do this. We've been doing it for a few years, and we have people who are familiar with it, and we go in, and they recognize it, and it's all acceptable. It's all done. So that's that. And we have insurance for CARM. Because it's a, you know, we need insurance, and so that's at the beginning of the year too, or close to it. And so anyway, we need your help. And also, we're moving towards doing the videos here, the stuff on Matchlick Live, going to Matchlick Live Facebook, and also on YouTube. And so if you want to get the information for that, the links, all you got to do is go to carm.org, CARM. .org/MattSlick Live, all one word. It'll give you the links and stuff right there, and you can check it out. Let's get to Hose, I guess. Hose from Texas. Hose, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, yeah, am I next?
Yeah, you're on. You're on the air.
Oh, hey. Hey, man, how's it going?
It's going, buddy. It's going. What do you got, man? Hey,
I got a question. I took history, geology, my last semester, and they talked about the Earth, and they have evidence of how old is the Earth by dating rocks, and they say they come out with 4.5 billion years old, and you know, one of my professors kind of like triggered me a little bit, kind of gave me a little angry, because they said that Noah's Ark was, you know, it's a fantasy, it couldn't happen over the whole flood thing. Because according to their agenda, it did not fit. So anyways, is there any biblical evidence where, you know, dismantle that year or 4.5 billion? Because I think according to the Bible, we can see roughly 6,000 years.
Okay, so you're telling me that in the geology class, they attacked Noah's Ark? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well...
Okay, yes.
Yeah, well, they attacked, you know, they pretty much attacked Christianity and
okay.
You know, had a problem.
Okay, 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 you know, okay. Yeah. Okay, so they attacked Noah's Ark, then they attacked Christianity. All right, what I might do, just because of what you said, maybe tonight, tomorrow, next few days, I'll release some information as an article. I've been collecting stuff in my science outline, and we got a break coming up. So hold on. I'll explain what I'm going to do after the break, okay? Because you'll want to know. So hold on. Be right back, folks, after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Jose? I guess it is Jose. Well, music's done. When that's going, wait for the music. There we go. Oh, there we go. Okay. Now, so Jose, I have information on stuff about age of the Earth. And what I want to do is I can put it up on the outlines on CARM. So if you were to go to, this is where you'd go. You'd go to carm.org/cut, C-U-T. That'll just take you to the cut and paste stuff. And I have outlines there. And what I'll do is I'll work on getting the outline of science up there. And I have information that is very useful on dating methods, age of the earth, things like this that are problematic on their perspective, from their side. So there are issues. There really are. For example, there are what's called polystrate trees. Polystrate trees are trees that are fossilized through 600 million years of rock strata. Well, if that's the case, then how could you know that a rock strata is 650 million years? How does that work? And then there are dating methods that get radically different time periods using different systems, like rubidium strontium and potassium argon. Dating methods will take certain rocks that they know are supposed to be certain ages, and they get radically different dates, millions to billions of years old difference. Well, then how do they know how old they are? And see, let me tell you something. When I was in class, I had a physical anthropology class back in a secular college, and it was a good class, and the lady was definitely anti-Christian and an atheist and secularist, a humanist, an evolutionist, and all this stuff. And so I knew that she was going to start talking about human ancestors and fossils. So I could only do so much. I prepped on exactly one of the ancient, like Australopithecine, I think it was. I can't remember. And I had the information in my notebook, which I carried from class to class. And lo and behold, of all things, she actually, and I'm telling you this for a reason, I want you to do the same thing, she actually raised the issue of how evolution's true, and she actually brought up that exact hominid ancestor that I studied. I raised my hand in the class. She said, yes. And I said, well, you said that this and blah, 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 but I've done research. And I opened my notebook, big notebook, and I said, right here, and I had quotes from scientists who had more degrees than the thermometer saying that that they were not, it was not a human ancestor, but it was this, it was that. I mean, I read like two quotes. And these are experts, like from the guy who was the curator of the Natural History Museum of London, and things like that. And I looked at her, and I said, well, so what do you do with these? And she said, they're all wrong. And then I raised my hand again, and she wouldn't call on me for the rest of the class for 20 minutes. And for that 20 minutes, I kept my hand up. While she was talking, because I was going to ask more questions about this, she didn't want to talk to me. She was not open to dialogue. She was not open to anything that was counter to her facts. And she was so upset and aggravated with me that I kept my hand up. People kept noticing my hand stayed up during the rest of the class. And finally, it was time for us to leave. And as I walked out, I said to her, I enjoyed the class. I'm looking forward to coming back. And I walked right by her. She did not like that. When you have information, you can do stuff like this. She did not bring up stuff like that again in the class. She didn't bring it up anymore. Okay. And I know what it means. I've done different classes. Okay, so I'm just telling you all this stuff. So here's the thing. I want to get this information, and I want to release it on CARM, and it will have stuff, and you could take it, and you could print it, and you could have it with you in your geology class. Now, this isn't exhaustive, but there are things in there that are worth looking at. And in addition to this, I want to tell everybody, if you have citations and quotes that are relevant to this kind of a topic, which includes the Big Bang, dating methodologies, fossils, galaxies, evolutionary theory, human ancestors, missing links, the Miller experiment, mathematical odds of abiogenesis, genetic entropy, all kinds of stuff, send it to me at info@carm.org. info@carm.org. You send it to me, and I will need the page number where it's at, a link to where, if it's a video, like an 8 minutes and 5 seconds. I'll give you a 3-hour video and say, hey, that quote's in here. I'm not going to listen to it. You have to tell me, look, go here, look there. And if it's in a book, I have to check out and make sure everything's good. But if you find stuff that's good, I will put it in that outline as well. Okay?
I certainly will. Yes, for sure.
So that's for everybody who's listening, too. All right, buddy. Okay. Yeah. Keep going.
All right. Hey, Matt. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, you got more questions and stuff? And so there are things you can say.
I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. I thought this was the last know, the last question. No. Anyways, well, my other question was too is, you know, this professor kind of teases me because he knows I'm a Christian, I'm on the side, and he pretty much asked me the question is, okay, so what happened to the Jurassic period according to your Bible? Does that, the dinosaur exist in your Bible?
Yes.
And, you know, and I'll be you know, and I'll be fair. I just don't, I couldn't answer to him. And
Hold on. The answer is yes. You can read the last three chapters of the book of Job. This is your homework. Go read the last three chapters of the book of Job. It talks about two immense creatures, one land-based and one water-based. And say, there we go.
That's interesting. I know.
Well, absolutely. See, we have no problem with that. And, you know, I have to get more quotes for the science stuff, like that they're finding genetic information in bone marrow from dinosaur bones. How is that possible? How is that possible? You can ask them. See, I would have my documentation. I'd raise my hand and go, well, you know, you said this. I'm just curious. How is that possible? And then there's the carbon-12 problem. Carbon-12 has a half-life of just over 7,000 years, 7,300 or 250, something like that, 520, which means that in 100,000 years, there should be no carbon-12 left in anything that used to be alive and now is dead, after 100,000 years. So anything carbon-based that should not have any carbon-12 in it because of the half-life issue, that's period. Well, then why is it diamonds and coal shales have carbon-12 in them, since they're supposed to be millions of years old? And you could raise them and say, can you explain that? There are questions that you can ask, and I would be doing that in class. And I would go, I would go to the teacher, out of class. I'd find his office, and I'd say, hey. And I did this to one teacher. I actually did this to a teacher who was an art teacher, and he attacked Christianity in an art class. And I went and I talked to him in his office afterwards, and I said, look, I said, I want you to know that I was offended by what you did. There was no reason for you to have to come in and start attacking Christianity. And I, just so you know, I study this stuff. If you say anything against Christianity, again, I'm going to raise my hand. I'm going to challenge you in the class. And he looked at me. He goes, you know what? He goes, you're right. I should have done that. I was surprised. He says, I really appreciate you coming to me and talking to me. And when I was in my geology class, I was in my geology class. And I remember, this just gets me because I know what you're going through. In my geology class, this professor is saying this and saying that about the age of the earth. I walked to him towards his office after a class, and I said, you know that there's a lot of problems with the geological record, right? And he says, but yes. And there's a lot of problems with the fossil dating methods. He said, yes. I said, then why do you believe in evolution and all this stuff? He goes, because it's true. And I remember I stopped walking. What? But you know there's problems, and you just assume it's true. But the problems are serious. He goes, he doesn't care. That's how it is with people. All right, that's how it is.
Right. So, yeah, and I think it's very important for us Christians to stand up because I feel like, in my experience, I get bullied a lot, especially for my professor. He's very, he attacks Christianity, and he knows who he's picking on because he knows it's me. And sadly, one of my friends. He was a Christian, and now he's an atheist due to the fact that, you know, because of this ongoing, this ongoing attack towards Christianity of how, you know, we're, you know, it's false.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so I think it's very important for us Christians to know our resource and know about these, you know, to answer these questions correctly and you know, have our, you know, our evidence of why we believe what we believe in our Bible. So,
that's right. I'm with you, and I've had a lot of experience in secular school, and we had a philosophy class, and guy attacked Christianity. I was in two philosophy classes. He wouldn't let me in the first one when I defended Christian faith because he didn't like the idea that anybody would be in there who could defend Christianity. He was only interested in attacking it, and I went to another philosophy class 6 months later, and I got in. And it evolved into whenever he would say something that related to Christianity and truth and God, he would just look over to me and say, well, what's the position, Matt? And I'd say, blah, 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 blah. Because I would challenge him.
Exactly.
And most people aren't capable of doing that. I'm not knocking them. It just takes some practice. It takes some work. And I can help. Okay, I can help people do this.
Right, yeah. Philosophy is another thing because my professor is like, you're just in a cave where, you know, this is what you've been taught. You need to get up, step outside of your cave.
Really?
I guess for some reason. I'm sure you've heard of that case.
Oh, yeah.
They always talk about how you know, if you're in this case, you know, you've been taught since you're little. And I guess, I'm not sure who was it who taught this, that, you know, that some people need to step out of their cage, that what they believe in.
Right.
And I guess that's all has to do with Gnosticism and all that stuff, so.
Yeah, and I can tackle that as well, because you have to understand a basic principle. This is important for people to hear. If you're in a philosophy class and the issue of truth comes up, there has to be an ultimate. Always think in the terms of ultimate. What is the ultimate? Is the ultimate biology? Is it physicalism? Is it naturalism? Is it evolution? How do you have absolute truth value without an absolute ultimate truth giver? And this basic question, if you know how to work with it, you can cause professors to have conniption fits, politely. You can say, well, wait a minute, you said this and that, but how do you know that's the ultimate, you know, is there anything beyond this? How do you know that empiricism is the right way to judge truth? It's only an expression or derived out of your sensory experience. How do you know your senses are really representing or interpreting reality accurately? And don't you have to interpret rationally? With rationalism, isn't that superior to empiricism at that point, since you judge all empirical values by what your rational mind says? But then, what justifies these laws of logic that you appeal to? See, these are the kinds of things that I would talk about in class, and the profs didn't like it. They did not like it.
Yeah, right. And do you have any articles on that, Matt, on your website or anything that can help, you know, us Christians on how to, you know, learn more about, you know, how to defend our Christianity in terms of philosophy, theology, you know,
I happen to have another outline on philosophy I've been developing. My outline on Catholicism is 190 pages, but my outline on I have one on Calvinism, 100 pages, 90-ish pages, and I have one on evolution or science, which is about 35 pages. This is outline stuff. So this is, you know, I need to do this, and I need to have seminars online where I teach people how to handle it. They bring their questions in. Not that I'm an expert in this, but I can certainly bone up pretty quickly. When I get a question I can't answer, I go and I look and I figure things out. And I love science. I mean, when I say it, I mean, I really do. I love documentaries.
Yeah,
and I like watching science things. That's my thing. I love it. All right. Hey, we're out of time, buddy. Got to go, okay?
All right, Bob. Thank you, man. Thank you for your presence.
All right.
All right. Have a good night.
Okay. All right. Sorry, Nate and Craig. Please call back tomorrow. But that was worth staying on the air about that. A lot of people are struggling with those issues. May the Lord bless you all, and by His grace, we'll be back on here tomorrow, and we'll talk to you then. Have a great evening.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.